Most of you know the name Sam Houston. Sam Houston was a fascinating man, lived an extraordinary life. You remember that he was born in Virginia and lived his early adult life in Tennessee, had great success in Tennessee. He was a congressman and governor of Tennessee. And then his marriage failed, and he kind of fell apart and migrated eventually to Texas and lived a rough life, remarried. And some people would say that he was something of a drunk. But he did lead Texas to victory at San Jacinto, and he became the first president of the Republic of Texas and the governor of Texas. And all the while, his second wife was praying for him because his heart wasn't right. And finally, late in his life, in 1854, he came to know Christ under the preaching of a Baptist preacher named Rufus Burleson. And interestingly enough, he was preaching a sermon on the proverb that says, "He that rules his own spirit is better than he that rules a city." And he realized that he was the ruler of Texas, but he couldn't control his own heart. And he gave his life to the Lord Jesus. 250 people showed up to see Sam Houston baptized. November 19th, about this time of the year, 1854. Of course, it was outside. It was in the creek. He walked down in the water, and Pastor Burleson said, "You better take your watch and chain out and hand it to this deacon." And he did. And then Pastor Burleson said, "And you better take your wallet out and hand it to him too." And Sam Houston famously said, "No, sir, that part of me needs baptizing too." Paul Powell used to like to tell that story. And it does go to this issue of how Jesus impacts our money, how we feel about it, how we spend it, how we give it. Martin Luther used to say there are three conversions: the conversion of the mind, the conversion of the heart, and the conversion of the wallet. Of course, Martin Luther knew full well that there's only one conversion, but his point is that in coming to Christ Jesus, we find a change of mind, a change of heart that impacts our money. It impacts our wallet. Well, we've been talking about being faithful to give. We've had Sunday school lessons and great testimonies in all of our services. And last week, remember, I preached a message from 2 Corinthians about how the Bible teaches us that in church we should talk about giving money. And we should use theological language, words like grace and fellowship and ministry. We even should talk about giving money in the context of the cross. Paul says, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." He doesn't hesitate to put that discussion in the context of the cross. I was already planning this week to speak more specifically about this issue of tithe. And that intention was confirmed when one of our student ministry teachers told me on Sunday evening that Sunday morning in her class, a teenage girl asked her, what is tithe? What is tithe? That's something we take for granted sometimes. It's a word we use a lot in this church, but not everybody knows what that word means. Maybe some of you here in this room might not know what it means. And I want to look at three important Bible texts that deal with this issue of tithe. Tithing is a spiritual discipline of giving 10% of my increase to the Lord and His church. Giving 10%. The tithe is a word that means 10%. And there are a lot of places in the Bible that talk about this, but I want to just quickly look at three important ones. And the first is Genesis chapter 14. The second is Malachi chapter 3. I'm going to give you that one in advance. It might take you a while to find it. And then the third is in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 23. I'm going to do a little more than read these. Genesis chapter 14, verse 18 through 20 is a story from the life of Abraham, the father of faith. Abraham had won a great battle. He had a lot of increase a lot of revenue, a lot of resources from that battle. And after the battle, we find this encounter between Abram and a religious leader, a priest, Melchizedek, who surfaces again in the New Testament in a very important way connected with Christ. In Genesis chapter 14, verse 18 says, "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was a priest of Most High God, El Elyon. He blessed Abram and said, 'Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand.'" And then look at the observation of the text. "Abram gave him a tenth of all." Abraham gives a tenth. Look at Malachi chapter 3. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, the prophet Malachi is declaring God's judgment on the people. And one of the reasons, there are a number of reasons, and one of the reasons is the way they've handled their money. And in Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, we read, "Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, 'How have we robbed you?' In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Then I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. All the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord." And now look at Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23 contains this series of woes, of condemnations coming from Jesus toward the religious establishment of his day. And in Matthew chapter 23, verse 23 and 24, we find Jesus pronouncing this woe. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law." He says you are very meticulous to make sure you give 10% of even the smallest thing you have, but you neglect the weightier issues, provisions of the law, like justice and mercy and faithfulness. "But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. You blind guides who strain at a gnat and swallow a camel." Now, the Bible teaches us that tithing is a spiritual discipline of giving 10%. And we see in the Genesis text that Abraham practiced this giving 10% in worship. And we see in Malachi that not only is tithing an humble act of faith by the great man of faith, Abraham, the father of all the people of God, but also that tithing was an important part of the Old Testament law for Israel, a part that they'd not kept, they'd been rebellious against, disobedient to. And then in the Matthew text, we find Jesus with harsh condemnation for petty legalism and hypocrisy, an assumption that if I will tithe and be meticulous in my tithing, then it doesn't matter how I live the rest of my life. If I'll give the 10%, then I can live the rest of my life with injustice, with an unmerciful heart. And Jesus condemns that, of being meticulous in the smallest part of tithing, but neglecting the weighty issues of righteousness. And but what's interesting in that text, as we look carefully at verse 23, is that even as Jesus brings harsh condemnation on this petty legalism and hypocrisy, he still commends the tithe. You should have preserved justice and righteousness and mercy without neglecting the other, Jesus says. He has a perfect opportunity here to contradict, to overturn, to dismiss tithing. But he refuses to do that. So I think tithing is a biblical spiritual discipline of giving 10%. Now, some of you have heard a common objection that says, oh, wait a minute. Tithing is a part of the Old Testament law. And as Christians, we're not under the law. We're under grace. And so we don't have to tithe. Well, my mama taught me that anytime you say we don't have to, then you're showing that there's something wrong with your heart, right? When I would ask her, do we have to go to church? She would say, no, we get to go to church, right? So what do I have to do? That's the wrong question right at the beginning. But this issue of we're not under law, we're under grace, I think is a confused notion. And let me just speak to it because some of you have heard this. First of all, tithing is an act of faith, a biblical practice that is older than Moses. Abraham comes before Moses. So before we see tithing enshrined in the law of Moses, we find Abraham practicing this spiritual discipline, and that's significant. Second, no one is suggesting, I'm not suggesting, that tithing saves us or that tithing is a substitute for heart righteousness. We're saved by grace, and it's the grace of God in the person of Jesus Christ that changes our heart. And we're not saying that tithing is, that keeping a law of tithing makes you right with God. Jesus Christ makes us right with God. Tithing is a spiritual pattern of discipline. And then finally, we always want to remember that we certainly should never do less under grace than we would do under law. And so the objection that, wait a minute, we're no longer under the law, we're under grace, it comes with it a kind of an implication that we don't have to give as much anymore. And if that's how you hear that, then you hear it wrong. R.G. Lee, the great preacher of the past, used to say, to give less under grace than you would give under the law is a disgrace. And certainly we saw from last week when we read 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9 that the Apostle Paul clearly talks about giving that is intentional and proportional and sacrificial. Intentional, not emotional, not giving to whatever catches our fancy, but intentional and proportional percentage, like a tithe, as we've increased, Paul says, and sacrificial. And so the question is always, if not a tithe, then what do you suggest? 5%? Giving it whatever tugs at your heart? Everybody giving the same? And we learn there's practical wisdom in this biblical spiritual discipline of giving the tithe, the 10%. And we've heard some great testimonies, and let me share mine. My tithing testimony. Why I tithe. And I'll have to answer that question honestly. To a large degree, I tithe because my parents taught me to tithe. When I was 6 or 7 years old, they gave me a dollar allowance and they gave it to me in the form of 10 dimes and taught me to bring one of them to church. And when I was about 9 years old, I had a paper route and I remember exactly how much I made. I made $33 a month. And the reason I remember that is I opened a checking account, and the only check I ever wrote was once a month. I wrote a check for $3.30 to the church. That's how I learned to write a check. When Julie and I married and I began to pastor a church, they paid me $1,000 a month plus a parsonage. And We wrote a check for $100 a month. And so the truth is, one of the primary reasons why I tithe, especially why I began to tithe, is because my parents taught me to do so. Let those who have ears to hear, hear. If you want to bless your children and grandchildren, teach them now. Teach them now. It's the easiest time to start. And it will become a part of the fabric of their life. But as I've studied God's Word and experienced life, I've learned that tithing is this biblical spiritual discipline that brings order and blessing to our financial life and that strengthens our faith. It brings order and blessing to our financial life and it strengthens our faith. And so if you ask me now why I tithe, I'll say because when I tithe, it reminds me that I'm a child of the Father. Now, our business office will get on to me for this, but I'm going to say it. You know, you can give online. We even got an app that you can use to give. You can use your credit card to give. We'll take it just about any way we get it. But I'll tell you what I tell my own children. Bring it to church and put it in the plate as an act of worship. And when you do that, you're reminded, I am a child of the Father. He blesses me and I bless Him. He provides for me and I trust Him. He loves me and I love Him. I'm a child of the Father. When I tithe, I'm reminded that I am a member of the body. We saw last week in 2 Corinthians how the Apostle Paul uses theological language to talk about giving. And one of his favorite theological words that he uses to talk about giving money is the word koinonia, fellowship, a sharing. When we give our money together, it's a real connection. I heard someone talking about how involved their friend was in one of these political campaigns. And he said, she is really invested in that campaign. And I thought, that's interesting use of language, isn't it? How we use a kind of that financial term, invested, to talk about being deeply committed to something. Well, let me ask you, are you invested in this church? With your heart and your soul and your time and even your money? Listen, when I tithe, I'm reminded I am a member of this body. That my faith is not merely an individual walk, but it's a corporate walk, a sharing together with the body of Christ. And when I tithe, I'm reminded that I am a manager for the Master. The tithe reminds us that it all belongs to Him. Right? And that we will give an account, not for the 10%, but for the 100%. We'll give an account for it all. We're managers. That's what the word steward means. We are managers for the Master. And the tithe is that reminder in life of that reality. I read a biography of John Broadus. Left the University of Virginia to go be one of the founding fathers, really, of Southern Seminary. He's a great, great godly man, a great preacher. You Baptists know, recognize Broadman Press and the Broadman Hymnal. That's all named after John Broadus. Well, Broadus one time was preaching, and they began to pass the offering plate. He jumped down off the platform and followed the ushers. and saw exactly what everybody, he even, if somebody put in a check, he unfolded it and looked at it. Followed him all the way through the offering. And then he came back in the pulpit and he said, "Some of you are glad that I saw what you gave. And some of you are disappointed. But what we need to know is Jesus always sees and knows. He knows. He sees. And when we give, we're reminding ourselves that we are managers for the Master. And one day we give an account to Him for all that He entrusts us with, including finances. So tithing is a spiritual discipline that brings order to our financial lives, blessing to our financial lives, and strengthens our faith. Chris Well used to say that tithing is not a money-raising scheme, but a soul-building tool. And the purpose is not to secure the tithe, but to secure the tither. And I believe that that is true. Listen, brother, sister, I encourage you this morning to embrace this biblical spiritual discipline of a tithe. And you know, why I tithe might be the wrong question. Maybe the question we should ask is, why not tithe? Why don't you? And in some ways, there are two answers to that question. One is, I'm not able. And listen, I know that there are some of you here that when we give these stewardship testimonies and I preach about tithing, you experience this condemnation that pushes you down, that pushes you away, that makes you feel bad. Because you're in a situation where you're in financial bondage and your financial obligations are greater than your income. And you're living under this pressure and this burden. And if you're in that kind of situation, you need to understand our purpose is not to condemn you, but to help you. And we want to help you with that. And if you're not tithing because you feel like you're not able, then I encourage you to talk to me, to talk to one of our pastors, talk to your deacon or a Sunday school teacher. We can help you to get on top of that, to order your financial life in such a way that you have some margin and that you're able to give as the Scriptures teach us to give. Maybe you don't tithe because you're not able. Or is it because you're not willing? And that's a problem. Now we're moving to the heart, aren't we? And what the Bible clearly teaches us is that where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. One of the clear indicators of the work of God's grace in the heart and life of a person is they find within them this new desire to give, to trust God, to fellowship with the body, to be accountable to the Lord in all of life, including our financial life. And could be that one of the things you're struggling with is the very issue that Jesus surfaces in this Matthew 23 text. That you're resisting a kind of religion that strains to keep some sort of rule of tithing without a heart to keep the weightier issues. And so you resist tithing because it seems like a kind of a hypocrisy, a formality, a ritual. The gospel of Jesus Christ teaches us that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose again to give us a new heart, a new spirit, to write the commands of God not on tablets of stone, but on our hearts on the inside, to change us from the inside out. And I believe the scriptures teach us that one of the most key and clear indicators of that heart change is a desire to give. A new desire to give that you've never experienced before. I've known men and women who would never have dreamt of giving 10% of their income. It seemed like nonsense to them. Until they got saved. Jesus changed their hearts, their desires from the inside out. And so this issue of I'm not willing, it's an issue that you need to carefully consider the condition of your heart. Let's bow our heads together for prayer. Father, we praise you because you are our creator and redeemer, our provider. You're able and willing to meet our every need. And we confess, Father, that far too often we go with the current of our culture. We buy and borrow and spend in ways that we should never. Forgive us, Father, for that materialism, for living with that lack of margin. We repent of that. We want to honor you with all of our lives, including our financial lives. Father, I pray that those here today who are under that kind of bondage would not leave in a spirit of condemnation, but correction. That you'd guide them to help. I pray, Father, that those of us who are resisting the leadership of your Holy Spirit, I pray that we would be obedient and free, that we'd follow you with all of our hearts and lives. That you'd have your way in all of our hearts and lives. We thank you, God, for the indescribable gift that you've given us in the person of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the privilege of being your children, the body of Christ, your stewards. We ask that you give us grace to be faithful. In Christ's name. Let's continue with heads bowed and eyes closed for a moment. We're going to sing a song of response. For many of you here this morning, the best way to respond is to sing this hymn, using the words of this hymn to express your full and free commitment to Christ. Some of you may want to come and join our church in this time of invitation. This is an opportunity to do that. We're glad to receive you. Some here maybe have never made a personal commitment to Jesus Christ. And you realize this morning that you've been thinking about this commitment to Christ only in matters of externals. Rule keeping, and not an issue of the heart. Maybe you're like Sam Houston all those years ago. You realize that you can't even control your own spirit, your own heart. And you want to come receiving Christ as Savior and Lord, asking Him to give you a new heart, new desires, new direction through the power of His blood. This invitation is your opportunity. Come make that commitment to Christ. Let's stand together and sing, and as we're singing, you come.